Good morning. I want to start off with a question for all of you. Tell me about one thing, just yell something out that you have forgotten that was important to you. Parking, okay? What else? Birthdays, yeah. Giants tickets, okay? That's a good one. What else? Your glasses, yes. What else? A couple more?
Birthdays.
Birthdays for sure, yeah.
Passwords.
Passwords, yeah, no kidding. Lots and lots of passwords, right? Yeah, when I was in college, my friend and I took a trip up to Vancouver, Canada to work with some missionaries up there, and we had a recommendation about a restaurant that we just had to go to up there. This is before Yelp, so you had to rely on a single recommendation to actually go to a place. So we went to this restaurant, and we had trouble finding it because it was also before Google Maps. And man, life was just so much harder in a number of ways. But we finally found the restaurant and couldn't find a place to park. So we drove around downtown Vancouver, finally found a place in kind of a not-so-nice part of town, and then went to the restaurant and had a decent meal and came back to our car. And my friend realized he'd locked his keys inside the car, which, of course, is a terrible thing to forget. And then we're kind of trying to figure out how do we get help, because it's also before cell phones, right? So we're standing there, and what to do, and I'm standing by the car, and I feel something hot on my leg. I look down, and it's the exhaust, and he realized not only had he locked his keys in the car, but the car was still running. And we were amazed that it was still there after an hour or so lunch. So how many of you have locked your keys in the car? Let's be honest. How many of you have left it running? I know there's some of you. Yes, see, we forget important things at times, right? This morning we're looking at a story about a forgetful man, about somebody who forgot something really important, and that forgetting had significant consequences. For him, it cost him his life. So this morning we're thinking about when forgetting is fatal. As Steve mentioned, for the last several weeks we've been in the book of Daniel, and we've been in the middle of this series that we've called When Kingdoms Collide. We've been talking about how there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of man that we live in day to day, the jobs and our classes and our lives and our families, everything that kind of defines our normal experience. And on the other hand, there is the kingdom of God, that if we believe in Jesus, we believe there is a spiritual reality that we're a part of that is somehow even perhaps more real than the kingdom of man that we live in. And we've been talking about what it looks like to live in both of those kingdoms, that if you live in the kingdom of God, that doesn't just mean you abandon the kingdom of man, but that you live in both at the same time. We've said that following Jesus means living faithfully in the kingdom of God while staying present in the kingdom of man. But one of the things that makes that difficult is that we are essentially forgetful. And particularly because the kingdom of man is so present, so prevalent, so obvious in our experience, it can be easy to forget that there is a kingdom of God, that there is another reality out there that is even as real, if not more real, than the things that consume our lives day to day. I think one of the biggest hindrances to following Jesus is simply that we forget. For the last 5 weeks, we've heard about King Nebuchadnezzar. And this morning, we're shifting to a new person in the kingdom of Babylon, King Belshazzar. Belshazzar is like us. He forgets. And he makes the dangerous mistake of forgetting the kingdom of God. So this morning, as we listen to his story, we're going to be thinking about why we forget. Why is it that we forget even things that are very important to us? Birthdays and glasses and keys in the car and indeed even the kingdom that we live in. Why do we forget those things? Why is it so easy? We're going to think a bit about what the consequences are when we do forget. What does that cost us? What happens when we forget? And then we'll think as well about what it looks like to remember. How does God help us to remember? Our hope is that as we think about this story of Belshazzar, we could be remembering the kingdom of God, that we could be striving to do so more and more, and thinking about why it's so easy to forget. So let's meet this new king. We're going to start by reading from Daniel 5, verses 1 to 4. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Right off the bat, we just hear about this king and about this great feast that he throws. King Belshazzar was actually probably not officially a king. The original readers of this story would probably have realized that. His father was actually the king, King Nabonidus. But King Nabonidus was prone to leaving on occasion and leaving for long periods of time and leaving the kingdom in charge of his son, Belshazzar. So even in the beginning of this story, being referenced as the king, original readers would recognize, hey, this is a bit of an overstatement. This is a bit of an exaggeration. And then this man, Belshazzar, tries to further the glory upon himself. He throws this huge party, 1,000 guests, which even in our day is a large event, right? Some of you have planned weddings, and can you imagine 1,000 people at a wedding? This is a big deal to have this kind of an event. But if you knew the story and if you realized the context, you would know that this is a special kind of party. This is actually a goodbye party. Because we know from other documents that King Belshazzar's feast probably happened on the day that the Persians invaded Babylon. In fact, it was probably the case that his father, King Nabonidus, had already surrendered to the Persians a couple days earlier, and this was right before they arrived at the city, ready to take over. So here you have this guy who's not really a king, calling himself king, with the enemy gate, enemy forces at the door, about to take over, throwing this huge party, bringing out the vessels from the old temple in Jerusalem so that he can feel like a god, drinking from them and indulging in every sort of pleasure, and asking 1,000 important people to come do this with him. I think Belshazzar was overwhelmed by all the stuff that was going on around him. I think he couldn't handle the fact that his life, his kingdom, as he knew it, was about to come to an end. And so he surrounds himself with wine and with women. He desperately tries to see himself as more powerful than he is. I think Belshazzar was trying to forget all the difficult things that were happening right outside the city walls. It's a common thing to do. When life gets overwhelming, when there's too much stuff going on, we just want to make it go away. We just want to forget about it. There's actually a hit new song that exemplifies this perfectly. It's by an artist called Tove Lo. It's called Habits. We're going to watch a brief 30-second clip from a music video to see how this connects with the idea of trying to forget. In the video, she has just broken up with someone, and this describes her process of trying to push this from her mind. Watch this brief clip. You're gone and I gotta stay high all the time to keep you off my mind. Ooh, 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 high all the time to keep you off my mind. Ooh, 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 spend my days locked in a haze trying to forget you, babe. I fall back down. Gotta stay high all my life to forget I'm missing you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Spends her days locked in a haze trying to forget you, babe. My favorite part is the French fries, when she's like, oh, you gotta eat more French fries. But the look on her face as she's trying to forget all the things that are happening, just trying to push it away, I know that look. I've been there. How often do we turn to things that may not be helpful, may not be beneficial, in an effort to forget all the things that we don't want to remember? Belshazzar tried to create a kind of alternate reality, to live in a fantasy world in order to push away the true things that were actually happening. In real life, he was about to die. So he made this alternate version of life where he was a god, where he was powerful, where he could do anything that he wanted. And we can tend to use many of the same things that Belshazzar used. Of course, alcohol can be abused as a way to forget what's going on, to push aside reality. It has an incredible power to carry us away so that we forget what's real and live in what's false. Pornography has the same appeal. Instead of dealing with the insecurities of life and the complexities of real relationships, it can offer the chance to be powerful, for sex to be simple, for me to escape the painful limitations of my real life. And there's other things we can use that might not be inherently as dangerous, but if we use them in this way, can end up doing the same thing. Our phones, Facebook, video games, novels, the list goes on and on. We are such creative people that we can find anything good and use it to ill, to push away whatever it is that we're trying to forget. What do you try to forget in your life? What do you use to push aside the reality you'd like to escape? The problem, of course, with all of these things and with this method in general is that it means you're living in a lie, and lies eventually unravel. They eventually fall apart. This is what Belshazzar found out. He makes the mistake of essentially sticking his middle finger up to God in an effort to forget. So God steps in and reminds him. Here's Daniel 5, verses 5 to 9. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his color changed, and his lords were perplexed. This guy witnesses something terrifying, a hand writing on the wall of his palace. It's a well-known phrase, right? The writing is on the wall. This is the story that it comes from. If you say to somebody, the writing is on the wall, they know that the end is about to come, that bad things are about to happen. The king is terrified by these events, even more so when nobody can explain them. In fact, the phrase translated his limbs gave way literally reads his bowels were loosened. So this is probably a euphemism for the king having a little bit of an accident going on, you know, when he sees this. And it's funny because it's the same word used in verse 12 later when it says that Daniel is able to loosen problems. So you have the king loosening some things that ought not be loosened, and you have Daniel stepping in, loosening the things that are upsetting him. We might ask why God does this to Belshazzar. Why does he show up? Now, he was about to lose the kingdom. Sure, he was blaspheming God, but why bother stepping in? Here we get our first indication that when man forgets, God reminds. When man forgets, God reminds. God likes to remind people of who he is. He isn't trying to scare Belshazzar or to rub anything in his face. He's showing up to say, "You're forgetting that I'm real, but I'm very real, and I'm still here." He's actually showing up, I think, as much for the people gathered around as for Belshazzar. Belshazzar would die that night, but those people would live on. They would survive, and they needed to be reminded that the God that Belshazzar was thumbing his finger at was actually very real and worth remembering. God's always giving his people reminders. If you remember after the flood, God gave Noah the rainbow to remind him of his presence. When God called Abraham, God gave him circumcision as a sign to remember. I'm pretty sure Abraham said, "Why did Noah get a rainbow?" And then, of course, God gave his people the law. The ultimate reminder of who God was and what it meant to follow him. But it's interesting, if you remember how the law was written, listen to Exodus 31, 18. "He gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God." So here you have the finger of God writing on stone something to remind people of who he was. It's the same thing that God does for Belshazzar. The finger of God shows up to tell him what's really true. How does God remind us? What does he do to remind us of who he is? When does he show up just when we're trying to forget and say, I'm still here. I'm still very real. Well, God sends this message to Belshazzar in order to remind him, but Belshazzar needs help interpreting it. And so Daniel steps in. But at first, Belshazzar had forgotten who this guy was, and so he needed a reminder of his own. Listen to Daniel 5, verses 10 to 12. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems, or literally loosen knots, were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. This queen is probably the queen mother. It's probably Belshazzar's mother, King Nabonidus's wife. Now, she continually refers to Nebuchadnezzar as Belshazzar's father, not because he is his actual father, but because Belshazzar follows him in the reign of kings. And so she refers back to Nebuchadnezzar as a way of drawing a connection to Daniel, who in Nebuchadnezzar's day occupied a very high position. But of course, that position seemed to have failed, to have faded. Daniel seems to have gotten pushed to the background over the years. And so Belshazzar needs the queen mother to come remind him. Most of us know this experience of having our mothers remind us of very important things, right? Mothers are great at that. We need our moms to remind us. But here you have a guy who wasn't really a king, calling himself a king, who then has a little bit of a mess in his pants, and now he needs his mommy to come remind him of who can help him out of this situation. So things are not going well for Belshazzar on this feast where he wanted to look pretty good in front of 1,000 people. She tells him about Daniel, who had been forgotten. And I think that we know this experience too of having somebody or something that used to be important fade away into the background. Daniel was high up in the empire, and yet by now he's been forgotten, so Belshazzar needs to be reminded of him. Sometimes we forget because of everything that's going on around us. We want to forget, we want to push away all those things, but sometimes we forget because time goes on, and whatever experiences we had just fade away. They grow more and more distant until we can't remember them. A few years ago, I came across a backup file from a computer that I'd used in college. And I started looking through some of the files, and I started reading some of the things that were on this file, and I found some papers that I'd written for classes that I took when I was in college, and I was a religious studies minor, so some of these classes were very interesting. Some of the papers were very interesting to me. One of them was on the difference between Martin Luther and John Calvin and how they viewed Scripture. And I read these papers, and I had absolutely zero recollection of them. In fact, I looked at them and I thought, wow, this is really good. I could use some of this stuff. And I had no memory at all of writing these papers. And yet I'm quite sure at some point in my life, that was a very important paper. I probably stayed up very late, working hard on this, and yet now, years later, I have no recognition of it. See, even important things in our lives just fade into the distance over time. This happens with the kingdom of God. Sometimes we go on a retreat or we attend a Bible study or we have a great conversation or God teaches us something. And then it just kind of drifts away over time, fades further and further back into the recesses of our memory. Has this happened to you? Does the kingdom of God sometimes seem to just fade away with all the responsibilities and all the worries and all the promises and all the excitements and all the anxieties of the kingdom of man? Does God just seem to become distant? I've been surprised, even as a pastor, how easy that is to happen. Even working with the things of God day by day, sometimes I'll turn around and think, wow, I haven't actually thought about God in some time. God is easy to forget, but we need to remember. This is where Daniel shows up on the scene. He shows up to help Belshazzar understand what this reminder is all about. He reminds Belshazzar first of Nebuchadnezzar, and he reminds him that Nebuchadnezzar learned an important lesson. If you remember from last week, we heard about Nebuchadnezzar being at the top of his game and yet being humbled. And from that experience, he learned that the Most High God is truly king over all the earth. Before Daniel interprets this message for Belshazzar, he reminds him of that lesson and says, "You should have known it." Listen to Daniel 5, 22 to 23. "You, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored." Daniel does not mix words. He comes up to Belshazzar and he says, "You should have known all of this, and you ignored every last bit of it." He lists off this firing accusations. "You have not humbled your heart. You have lifted up yourself. You have desecrated the temple vessels. You have not honored God. You have praised other gods," on and on, everything he has done. He says, "You should have known better, but you forgot." I think Daniel accuses Belshazzar not just of forgetting, but of intentionally forgetting, of wanting to forget, of pushing those things away because sometimes remembering God is inconvenient. Sometimes it's easier to forget God because maybe we've learned lessons of humility. Maybe we've learned who God is and who we are, but we'd rather be God ourselves. We'd rather forget about the true reality of God because we want to play that role in our lives. We want control. We want power. It's easier to turn our backs. And deciding to forget, deciding to turn away, starts with those small types of decisions. Oh, it's easier just not to go to church. I don't want to deal with that today. Or that relationship I really should reconcile, I just can't focus on that right now. Or I just don't have time for this Christian thing. Or whatever it is, it starts with these decisions to forget because it's easier, because it's more convenient, and it grows and it builds. The great thing about remembering is that remembering wipes out all the forgetting that comes before it. You might forget where you put your keys, and you might spend hours looking for your car keys, but once you've found them, you have them, right? It's over. All that forgetting is wiped out. Remembering is this powerful thing that just brings the reality of God all the way back into our experience with a single thought, with a single action. Remembering wipes out forgetting. We need to remember. I've talked to a lot of people who believe in Jesus, and I've talked to a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus. And there's one thing that's very interesting about both groups of people, one thing they have in common. They all have the same questions about God. Now, you might not think that's the case. Because if you talk to the people who don't believe in Jesus, they'll say, "Well, I don't believe in God. I don't follow Jesus because I don't understand this, and that doesn't make sense to me, and I have this question and that question and this other question." But then if you talk to the people who do believe in Jesus, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I've got all those same questions too." So what is it then? What is it that makes believing in God hard? If it's not the questions, if everybody's asking the same questions and there are some questions that simply don't have good answers, it's something else. See, evidence is almost never the issue. It's almost never true that we don't have enough stuff, enough understanding to believe in God, but sometimes it's just easier to forget. It's easier to push away the things we have seen, the stuff we do know, and to live lives on our own terms. I used to wish that God would just show up to me, you know, like come in my room and say, like, Paul, I know you've had questions, I know you've doubted, but here you go. I'm real. You're all set for now, right? Can we agree on that? I used to wish for just some final, some grand revelation that would erase all my doubts. But I realize now that God's done that for us. And that even if he did that for me, a week later I'd say, maybe I just had some bad sushi or something. You know, I don't know. Was that really real? See, the problem is not that we don't have enough evidence. The problem is that we forget. God has shown up to us. He has been resurrected from the bed, dead, the bed. We've been resurrected from the bed this morning. But God's been resurrected from the dead. And he's done amazing things in our lives. He's appeared to us. He's changed us. He's shown us himself. We don't need more evidence. We need a better memory. We forget because sometimes it's easier to forget. It's more convenient. It allows us to do the things we want to do on our own terms. But forgetting can be erased by remembering. We need to remember. And we have to remember because forgetting has consequences. That's what we see at the end of this story. That's what Belshazzar found out. Listen to Daniel's explanation of the warning and what happens next. I'm going to read now from verses 24 to 28 and verses 30 to 31. This is Daniel speaking. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, and parsin. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom, speaking to Belshazzar, and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That very night, Belshazzar the Chaldean king was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So the actual inscription that the hand wrote is interesting. These words in Aramaic, mene, mene, tekel, parsin, they're actually weights, they're monetary weights that indicate value. It would be like me saying a ton, a pound, and an ounce. They're progressively smaller, but they were used to refer to currency that was common at the time. It's like somebody's laying down money, counting out the value of the king. But then Daniel takes those words and he goes back to the roots of the words and he reinterprets them. And so he gives us a totally different picture of what's going on. He uses the verbs that would form the roots of the words. And he says, mene refers to numbering. And so he says that God has numbered your days. Tekel comes from the root word for weighing. So he says that God has weighed Belshazzar and found him lacking. Peres is the root for half, so he says that God has decreed his kingdom has been divided. See, what Daniel says to the king is that God has made a decision about your kingdom. God has decided that it will be numbered, weighed, and split. That is, your kingdom is short, it is weak, and it is divided. This is the last thing that any king wants to hear. At the end of the story from last week, after Nebuchadnezzar was humbled and came back and praising God, he said of God's kingdom that it was eternal, that it was strong, and it was unified. There's this beautiful poem that Nebuchadnezzar composed. But now God is saying to Belshazzar that his kingdom is exactly the opposite. It will not last long, does not have any power, and it will be divided. See, the writing on the wall was meant to tell Belshazzar and all of the people around him one important idea. Forgetting God doesn't get you what you want. In fact, when you forget God, you get exactly the opposite of what you want. As a king, you want a strong, united, long-lasting empire, and God says that's exactly what you won't have. See, we forget God because we think we don't need him. We think that other things in our lives will give us what we want. We think that if we follow our own ways, then our lives will look the way we want them to look. But then God steps in and really out of his mercy reminds us that when we forget him, we don't get the life we want. It may not cost us our physical lives like it did for Belshazzar, but it will cost us our spiritual lives. We won't live the way we want to. We won't live the way we were meant to. We won't have the experience that we want when we push God away. The only way to an eternal, powerful, unified kingdom is to be part of God's kingdom, not to make one on our own. The only way to the life that we want is through God. Forgetting the kingdom of God really can be fatal. Well, my friend and I were lucky, though it was many years ago, that when we forgot the keys in the car and left it running, there weren't really any consequences. Belshazzar wasn't so lucky. When he forgot God, he lost his life. And for us, when we do forget God's kingdom, there are consequences. There are costs. But when the people of God read this story, it's not just a warning, it's also an encouragement. Because when the Babylonians lost their empire, that paved the way for God's people to come back to their land. It was the Persians who conquered the Babylonians that eventually let people return to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls. And so when God's people read this story, they see something else. They see that God doesn't forget. Even when his people are in exile, even when God has sent them there, God does not forget his people. God remembers. And God reminds. We need that. Because we do forget. We're forgetful people. We forget even things that are really important to us. And so if our relationship with God were just up to our ability to remember, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So we need to know that God steps in to remind us. He gives us little clues. He gives us little things to say, don't forget I'm here. Don't forget about me. I'm so glad he does. We forget for a whole host of reasons. Sometimes there's difficult things going on in our life, and we want to push those away. Sometimes the reality of God just fades into the background. Sometimes it's more convenient to forget God, so we choose to forget. But no matter why we forget, God helps us remember. Let's pay attention to those moments when he shows up. Remember the kingdom of God. I invite you to pray with me. God, I'm so grateful that you do remind us. Thanks for this story of a man who forgets just like we do, and yet of your work to remember and remind. Help us to pay attention to you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to remember you. In Jesus' name, amen.